Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
This guy's done everything right. He's raised his family right. He's fought his way all the way to the top of the Harvard Law Review in a blind test, becomes head of the review, the top editor there. Everything he's done is clean as a whistle. He's never not only broken any law, he's never done anything wrong. He's the perfect father, the perfect husband, the perfect American. And all they do is trash the guy. And it's impossible for me to believe they would have said the same thing about a Walter Mondale or a Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton. There's an ethnic piece to this. It's very hard to nail it down because they always cover it in ideology. But I've never heard anybody in this country call his opponent regularly anti-American or non-American.
Hey! Is it hump day?
It is.
Hey, it's hump day! Thank you, Mayor. It's hump day. 1 minute after the hour right here on the 25th of July, 2012. Hump day Wednesday. We'll get into that whole Chris Matthews monologue in the beginning. We'll get into that opening monologue shortly. I have a very, very damaging piece of audio tape for Barack Obama that is, I think, scathing. I think it breaks down this whole you didn't build that argument. And I think if a couple of people start to play it, they'll get the essence of what it is that I'm talking about and what everybody else is talking about. Oh, look at that. Rasmussen tracking poll. Likely voters, 47 to 44, Romney in the lead. Again, we'll get into that later. We've got bigger fish to fry, and I'm going to wait for my good friend JC, the producer, to get on the phone. So as soon as he joins the show, we'll
there
get into
is.
This. Oh, there he is, right on time. All you have
build
to do is
build it,
call.
And they will come.
Exactly. I have got to ask the question tonight. What the F is going on with the Jackson family?
They're bugging.
Have you seen this video?
No.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Okay.
What video?
Well, the video's all over the place. You can't see much. It's a surveillance video outside, you know, this home. I believe it's in Calabasas. Is that where it is, JC? Is it in Calabasas, California? It's somewhere like that. But whatever it is, the bottom line is that apparently you see a girl walk towards the door. JC, this is
Calabasas.
Okay, Calabasas, yeah. California. And this is, if I'm correct, this is Catherine Jackson's home, the matriarch of this family.
No. That's not Jackson. That's not her home.
Whose home is this?
That is Paris's, Prince's, and Blanket's home.
So that this is Michael home Jackson's Michael left, former home.
Michael left that home to the kids, yes.
Oh,
and I go into your audio, and then we'll discuss it.
Okay. Well, no. What are you talking about? My audio about Barack Obama?
Oh, no. I thought you had audio on Janet on the incident today.
No, I'm talking about the video. So let me, if you haven't seen the video, you see this girl walk towards the camera. She looks like she's walking towards the front door. And then you see some other woman walk in front of her with her cell phone in her hand, and she's trying to grab at the other girl. Now, I didn't know who these members were. I just know it's the Jackson family, whatever the case may be. Well, it turns out the first girl who comes on the screen, and I'll show it to I'll see if JC can forward me the videotape. You got to see it. The girl who walks on the screen first is little Paris, 14-year-old Paris. There's another woman who walks over who's in a baseball cap. That's Janet Jackson.
Yes.
She's rapping onto Paris in a very aggressive way. And Paris runs into the house or runs away, and another ball-headed guy walks in right next to Janet. He's got Janet on her arm, and they both start filming the front door with their cell phones. And it turns out that's Randy Jackson. So, I mean, Jermaine, I apologize. It wasn't Randy. Was it Jermaine?
No, that was Randy.
You're right. Okay, I did have it right. Okay, so it's Randy Jackson. So the deal is like everybody is in the house freaking out. It turns out, according to the report, that Janet and Andy were there to kidnap him. According to the report, now again, this has not been confirmed, but according to the report, it was that Jenny and Randy got into the house and were rummaging through the kids' things to find their passports and to get them out of the country.
But why?
Because, you know, Catherine is the sole sort of, I guess she's the one that's going to get the money. Okay? It turns out that Catherine, well, the executors have the money, but the only person who's going to get any of this money is Catherine, and of course, because it's going to go to three kids. But Janet and Randy and other members of the family are ticked off because nothing was left to them. Michael didn't leave them anything. Which I don't find extremely startling, but I find
it startling that he wouldn't leave anything to Janet.
And that's what I would think. That's what I would think. Janet, out of everybody, Janet would be the one, yeah, I would at least leave baby girl Janet something. But I don't, you know, I've had my doubts about this.
But you know what, Reese? I would have thought that he would have left the kids to Janet.
That's also interesting.
I would have thought that too. I would have thought that he would have
the guardians. Apparently, the guardians are only two people. It's Catherine, and when Catherine dies, kids go to Diana Ross.
Yes.
Well, no, that's his godmother. Michael's godmother. And then the kids go to Diana Ross. Now, although that makes sense, but Debbie Rowe is not even on the list. The kid's natural mother is not even on the list. By the way, if anybody ever wants to wonder what my prosecutor looks like, imagine Debbie Rowe with brown hair.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Ew, did he have sex with her?
She's cute.
Debbie Rowe is cute?
Not if she looks like Reese's prosecutor.
If you're into that brunette Jabba the Hutt thing.
I wasn't going to say that. I'm just saying they look eerily similar. They do. I'll show you a picture of Debbie Rowe as well, and you get it for yourself. But here's the deal. The family has gone nuts. They want this money. Now, I assumed that there were going to be some tuffles, some tiffs, because I thought that it was all going to be all the Jackson families banding together and saying, we don't want the executors to have any money, and we're going to, you know, what do you call it? What's the thing that they do? Contest the will. I thought they would contest the will against the executors. And, you know, the family would band together trying to fight them, and they'd look like fools, and, you know, they'd do all that other stuff. But to see the family literally going after each other to get this money.
And using the kids.
And using the kids. And having this play out in public where the police are being called. Now, today...
I'm sure that they all feel like they played a part in Michael's success, and that's why they should have something.
What? Wait. How can you... Well, you can...
I didn't say that was right, wrong, or indifferent. Mm. All I said was I'm sure that they feel like that in some way, shape, or form, in some fashion, they helped him get to where he was, whether it was when they were the Jackson 5.
Well, they believe that the Jackson 5 was a catalyst to him becoming a solo act,
yeah,
and him breaking off, and they feel as though part of that success belongs to them. They got a little Obama syndrome going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You didn't play bass. You ain't play drums. Tito played drums. You ain't build that. That's probably what he's saying. So, now, here's an interesting thing that happened today. So the judge has taken the kids away from Catherine. And he has given custody to the most unlikely of people.
They didn't give it to the father.
Oh, hell no. That'll never happen. Oh. That'll never happen. But I'm going to give you an opportunity. Take a wild guess.
Not LaToya.
Okay, no. It never happened. Okay, now you're just reaching. Okay, it is the weirdest thing. I didn't even realize that this person would have been eligible, because when I first heard the name, I went, no, he, oh, yeah. It went to T.J. Jackson.
Now, you have
to, I knew you'd ask. I knew you'd say it. T.J. Jackson is short for Tito. What is it? Tito Jason?
No, it's Tito Joe. That's Tito's son.
That's right. The middle name is after his grandfather. Tito Joe, son of Tito.
And not only that.
You talk about Tito gets no respect. Even his son got the kids before him.
Wow.
Tito gets no respect.
But, hey, Reese?
Yeah.
Mary might remember Tito Joe as one of the lead singers of 3T.
It was a group called 3T.
Thank you. I need my NES.
Exactly. And so he was the
lead singer. Called themselves the 3T.
3T.
You couldn't come up with anything.
They were all named with the letter T. I don't believe that all three of them were sons of Tito. I believe that it was two sons of Tito's and like a cousin or something. I might be wrong here. But, you know, it either was three sons or it was two sons and a cousin. But whatever it was 3T. But yeah, Tito Joe.
Yeah, it was two of Tito's and one of Jermaine's.
Okay, yeah, I figured that. Okay, I knew I had that right. But yeah, they had a short-lived career. They were in like what was that? What was that teen black magazine? Black Beat.
Oh my God.
They were in Black Beat magazine. So Tito Joe has the kids, and they're in his custody now. From what I hear, Catherine's on her way back to California from Arizona, where she's staying with Rebe. But if you thought this story was weird already, it gets weirder. Reports are coming out, JC, and please confirm this or not, because I don't know whether or not this came from TMZ, because as far as I'm concerned, they're the only legitimate source here. But there are stories coming out that say that Catherine was in Arizona at the behest of Rebe and the other siblings, who they say kidnapped Catherine.
So that they could get
to the kids. Now,
I did a post on the morning that she was kidnapped. I was from Saturday, I think it was Saturday night into Sunday morning. It was. And I broke it down, so therefore my accuracy rating goes up as well.
Okay.
Even though I don't have an accuracy rating.
I said that very morning,
I'm going to link you to it, let you read it yourself. But everything that I said came to fruition.
So, okay, this was your Facebook post?
Yeah, I'm going to link you on it.
I'm going to read it again. I'm going to check it on my phone, because I do remember you posted that, because that's how we heard it. I found out because you had it on your Facebook. Mary saw it as well. And we were talking about it. Why is Catherine Jackson missing? And it's interesting. The only person who was saying that Catherine Jackson was missing was a 14-year-old girl who was tweeting, I want to speak to my grandmother. I have no idea where she is. And this is the person who's supposed to be your guardian. And so what I hear, now this altercation that's on the video camera where she's trying to take Paris's phone, Janet for that matter, trying to take her phone, is because Janet was upset that she was tweeting about not knowing where her grandmother was. So here's Paris letting everybody know that something's not right, and it's alerting the media in some sense, or her followers. So now the whole coup is out in the open, and she's trying to take her phone so she's not out tweeting anymore. Because they don't want her. Now, I don't know about you, but shouldn't there be a kidnapping charge here somewhere?
Hold on. Let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
Janet and Paris had been beefing all along. Janet had been beefing with Paris about a movie role that she's taken.
That
Michael didn't really want her
to Paris
keep.
Got shot.
Well, she's in a movie that's coming out called London Bridge.
That's right. Now, this is the movie that she just signed on to last year.
Right. And Michael didn't want him in a show business before they were grown.
Oh, what do you mean grown? Like adult? Or like
Yeah, like adults. Right.
Oh, come on, they can't get into it when they're... I gotta start young. Every big actress started when they were young. Scarlett Johansson, Anna Taylor. Look how many of these young girls start. Paris is a pretty girl. She's got to start young. By the time she's in her 20s, she's not going to be able to just jump into the game. People are going to flip on her for that. She's not going to get any respect in the game. She's got to start when she's young. You know, I mean, all of these actresses. I mean, Scarlett Johansson, what was she, 12 when she was in The Horse Whisperer with Robert Redford? No, we're going to talk about that a little bit. It's Anaheim. Got to get into that. So I'm trying to figure this out. This sounds like kidnapping in every degree, or at least attempted kidnapping.
Oh, no, it's kidnapping.
Yeah, and the part that I don't like...
Well, it's elderly napping.
Well, it's still kidnapping. But see, this is what I find interesting. See,
we have a silver alert.
That's right. That's exactly what it would be, a silver alert. Rebe puts out that photo of them sitting around the table in Arizona with Catherine smiling and them playing Uno. Now, see, those Uno cards should have been, that should have been a tell. Ain't nobody playing Uno unless they're in prison. And I know, trust me, it's a big game in jail. Nobody plays Uno at home. They just don't. Uno is surviving in the criminal justice system. That's the only reason why that game exists. So this was a tell. Uno is the game you give to a prisoner, and there's Catherine sitting. Don't get me wrong here. I know what I'm talking about. Don't doubt me here. Do not. That was a tell. You think I'm out of my mind. You think that's too far-fetched?
No, I think you're just being typical.
No, oh, I'm being typical?
Of you.
What else is typical?
I know I'm right.
I know that I'm right. No family is sitting around playing Uno.
You're wrong.
Okay, look, somebody please tell me.
I play Uno.
You play Uno? When's the last time you played Uno?
Less than a year ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody just get out of jail? Have some commissary that they brought home?
No, but I have some older family members that enjoy playing the game.
I don't believe you.
Ask my mother.
Old people play Bidwiz.
No, we played
and
Uno.
And Pinochle.
No, we played Uno.
Maybe some spades if you're a Negro. Well, you don't play Uno.
Yes, we played Uno.
Well, you're
Uno
white.
Uno and Phase 10.
You're white, so it doesn't really count. You see black people playing Uno, it's a criminal justice system. Trust me, don't doubt me here. Don't doubt me. That was a tell. Black family playing Uno on a sunny day in Arizona?
They was playing Uno, not spades.
Spades would not have tipped me off. If I'd have seen them playing spades, I'd have said typical Negroes.
They weren't playing Tonk.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't know what
Tonk
is?
No, I don't know no card games.
Damn.
All I know is Pinochle. The only reason why I know spades is because I had to deal with that all my life.
Well, you seem to be talking like...
You don't know what Tonk is?
Oh, God. The Oreo bear and the black guy. Let me... Is it like spades?
No.
Okay, I don't know nothing about it. I know Crazy Eights. I don't play that card. Nonetheless, yeah, I know how to play that. But that's a tell. So somebody should be charged with kidnapping. And Paris was out there ringing the alarm. Somebody took my nana. Somebody took my nana. Let me tweet it. Where's nana? Tweet, tweet, tweet.
A Rockin' Robin tweet, tweet, tweet.
Somebody took my nana.
Rocks in the treetop.
Let me tweet it out to a whole bunch of people I've never met and see if they can find her. So they say the old lady's missing. I don't know how she got cut.
And you know, and I'm pretty damn surprised at Janet because she's got her own money.
Janet's got her own. Yeah, she probably got some publishing money. Well, not, but Michael got big money.
Yeah,
come on.
But Janet's got big money, too.
Come on, Janet's not just that big.
Are you kidding me?
Then why would she be fighting
she's
over
like
Michael?
The black Madonna.
Yo, Janet was a female version of Michael when it came to record sales.
Let's not go nuts, folks. She had great record sales, you know, that pleasure principle on the... greatest album ever by her was Rhythm Nation, okay? Now, check out the year that came out, ladies and gentlemen. Huh? what was that, late 80s?
Listen.
That was her biggest hit. She didn't have a big hit. And maybe that record that she did, what was the album where, the Velvet Rope was probably an all right album. That was a pretty good album. But Velvet Rope, that's when everything started to go downhill.
I don't know what album.
And what was the one that she did the remix with Blackstreet? I get so lonely, I can't let just anybody hold me. How do I know that? I was rocking that album. That was a hot album.
Then you should know the name of it.
Whatever the album was called. JC, come on, you know that stuff. You follow those Negro singers, especially the female ones. You into that Ashanti?
I love Ashanti.
And Regina Bell?
I
went from
Bell
one extreme.
Too.
Sorry, I went from one extreme to another. I said Ashanti and Regina Bell. They're not even in the same category.
Accident anyway. Symptoms.
But come on, JC, what was the name of that album that she had? It had to be Velvet Rope.
No, it wasn't Velvet Rope. It was Chicken Wire.
No, I believe it was Velvet Rope. That was Velvet Rope.
That's the way love goes? First single off the album?
Right. That was her last biggest album.
Right, right, right. And what was the song she had that was hot that had Cute on it? That's on Velvet Rope, too. Oh, just a record.
Oh, you know, things to go. Oh, no. Got to do it.
That beat was hot. That beat was higher. But anyway, that was her last big album.
Yeah, that was the one with Shaggy. That's the one with Shaggy, Love Me.
What's that?
The one that she did with Shaggy, Love Me. Love Me, Love Me. The one she did with Busta Rhymes.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Street.
Was that the same album?
Yeah, that's all Velvet Rope.
Velvet Rope?
Yeah, Nutty Professor album.
Last big thing she did was show her tit in the halftime.
And why did she do that? Because her career was over.
It was over.
Yeah, Demita Joe was done.
Remember, that was 2000. That was, so Velvet Rope was in the 90s. Falling off by then. That's where everybody was ragging on her about the whole nipple stunt because
it's 97 and 99.
Thank you.
And what's her little ugly husband's name?
Jurassic Dwarf.
Jermaine Dupri. Oh my god. Are they still mad?
Oh no, I think they're done.
Jermaine.
You'll get more unattractive than that broad right there. Let's bring Mike.
What broad?
Jermaine Dupri. Let's bring Mike and Justin in. Mike.
Dude, do you know how sad it is that I got to call and correct you about who played bass in the Jackson 5?
It wasn't Tito?
Jermaine played bass. Tito played lead guitar, and Randy played drums and keyboards.
Wait, Randy didn't play no drums. He played bongos.
Randy Jackson, not the Randy Jackson from Jackson 5, was a percussionist and a keyboard player.
Okay, well, all right. So, yeah, Randy was playing Randy, little Randy?
Yep. Tito played lead guitar. Remember, he got his ass whipped because he broke Joe's string?
That's right. Okay, yeah. You're absolutely
Jermaine
right.
Played bass, and the other guys just did backup vocals.
So Michael Jackson's backup vocals were Jackie and Marlon then, right?
Jackie and Marlon, yep. And, of course, everybody sang.
Yeah, everybody sang. Marlon was the worst out of everybody. He was a talentless hack. Hey, that's what Joe Jackson said. Hey, me.
Do you know what one of Jermaine's kids is named, by the way?
Your Majesty. Come on,
Your
man.
Majesty. Dude, how am I not supposed to laugh at Your Majesty?
Of course you're supposed to laugh at Your Majesty.
God dang, that's ridiculous.
No, I'd be pissed if I was Your Majesty.
I would be dead.
Your Majesty. But, you know, it's just bad, dude. They're all going to fight over their dead brother's money.
I don't want to
be stereotypical, but, you know, black entertainers are not historically good with money. They're probably all broke.
I'm going to agree, man.
Even Janet's probably broke. I mean, between the liposuction and paying for, what, Jiminy Cricket's activities or Jiminy Cricket-looking boyfriend, she's probably broke.
Remember she tried that whole that whole MTV comeback
when he
did that? Yeah, Janet did that, and she was wearing this skin-tight outfit. And she came out there, and she lip-synced the whole production. It was nothing more than a Broadway show. It was literally, for me, it was like the black version of Showgirls with Elizabeth Berkley. Or whatever.
Hey, man, the bar has been set high for performers now. There's people out there that can sing and dance at the same time.
Absolutely. Little Justin Bieber doing it.
I mean, good luck competing with Pink, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, I mean,
Pink,
that career
Pink will sing hanging upside down from a rope.
Yo, okay, now that you bring that up, let's be honest. Listen, I saw that when I was locked up.
What?
Okay, when Pink did that performance, it was sort of like a Cirque du Soleil thing, and she came down on the string, and she was spinning around, and her body was all wet. I was in jail when I was watching with a whole bunch of black guys. None of those dudes were into Pink. When they saw her do that, all of them were into Pink. They were all like,
She's the real deal, man.
What'd you say?
I mean, she's the real deal. I mean, she's not something that I would, you know, like to claim to listen to because I think I have more cred than that. But Pink's music is outstanding. That woman sings everything from R&B to real rock and roll. She's got an amazing voice. She's great. Pink is the real deal.
Yeah, she is a real deal. I've always had respect for her.
Yeah, I got put on doing Generation Blast at the club.
Well, you know, especially when she kind of told him, you know, I'm not going to be some in-the-pocket R&B singer. I'm going to do my thing and write my songs, and turned out to win in that equation.
Well, yeah, exactly.
She could have gone down the Britney Spears route if she didn't have balls.
And she refused to. But that's what I dug about her. But anyway, back on to the. So, Mike, shouldn't somebody be arrested for attempted kidnapping or kidnapping? I mean, they had Catherine, for crying out loud, and then they try to steal the kids.
And then there's like some talk that Janet slapped Paris.
Yeah, I had. Thank God that didn't show. If that had shown up on that surveillance video, Janet would have been finished.
Oh yeah, it's just sad, man. These poor kids. You know, it's bad enough that they got to go through their whole life with everybody looking at them and saying, "You're not really Michael Jackson's kid."
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, maybe the little one. I've been looking at pictures of him, and he looks a little bit like Michael. But you can't look at Paris and tell me that she has any of Michael's DNA in her.
Okay, hold on. Now, it's funny that you say that. Because when I look at Paris, I can see Debbie Rowe's eyes, like the shape of her eyes in her face. And there's a little bit about her that reminds me of Michael. But part of that might be because every time you see her, she's kind of doing something Michael-esque. You know what I mean? Like she's wearing something. Or it's something about her fashionably that sort of gives the essence off of Michael Jackson. So that might be confusing me when I look at her.
And the other one kind of looks like his plastic surgeon.
The oldest one does not look
like.
Well, what's confusing everybody is
Print.
If you want to look at kids and compare them to Michael, you have to go back 100 years and find the original and then.
Let me say this, Michael.
Well, look, I remember Michael Jackson's original nose.
The Michael before the black Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember his original nose, man. It was the size of a bell pepper.
Yeah, big ass bell pepper nose.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's nose back then was so big. KRS-One said, "Damn, that's a big nose."
If we put him on the border, he could have snorted up all the coke coming out of Columbia. you get him, Manilo, and Streisand down there. That's our own war on drugs.
All right, don't even start. All right,
I'm glad I know that I like the day in front of a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, okay, so predictions. What do we got? I don't think that any criminal charges are going to come out unless Catherine says they tried to kidnap me and take the kids, which I think they're going to shut her up before that happens.
What? Well, according to T-Day, he said that she was talking to him in code, like she was trying to tell him something. That's what he testified on stand before they gave him permanent custody, but he tried for permanent custody in 48 hours.
Well, who's Catherine's coming back. She's going to have to fight for custody immediately. I understand she's already got an attorney that's working on getting that done. They're trying to do that within days, maybe within 10. They're going to try to do that. But you know what? I am waiting to see what the rest of them do.
And you know what's odd, too? The doctor that supposedly gave her the rest order to go away and rest is the same doctor that testified against Michael in a Dr. Murray case.
Whoa. He testified against who?
He testified on behalf of Dr. Murray that Michael was a drug addict.
Really? He testified. That's strange, dude.
That's what Paris tweeted. I'm on her tweets now. She just tweeted a few minutes ago.
What does her tweets look like, man? Is she still talking about this stuff or what?
Yes, she is still talking. Where the hell is my tweet now?
Now, what's her Twitter page?
I'll link you to it. I'll link you to it. Yeah, she's still tweeting. And Jenna was supposedly trying to get her phone from her to keep her from tweeting.
Yeah, what were you saying, Mike?
Trying to choose which Jackson family member gets to take care of you is like trying to choose which Catholic priest you want to be on a camping trip with. They're all messed up.
Now, I think it's worse than that, man. Right now, for those kids... those kids are in the lion's den, and you know, and everybody's playing a role. Everybody wants a piece of these kids. They are nothing more than
they don't want a piece of the kids. They want a piece of the money.
But they want a piece of the kids for the money. I mean, this is nothing more than, you know, I'm saying they're carrots to them. You know, they're carrots to, you know, if one of us takes care of them, I get a piece of that money.
Paris seems pretty tough, though. She seems like a pretty tough kid, man.
Hey,
she doesn't seem to take any crap.
You know what? Out of all those kids, the only person I've ever heard talk or act out or respond to anything, the only person I've ever seen out there is Paris. The only one. The rest of those boys, mum's the word. You know, I've yet to hear the other boy or other kids speak.
I haven't either.
I've yet to hear the other two speak. I think they're mute.
I think the oldest boy spoke at some award show. But the little one,
okay.
I don't think, you know.
At the tribute. Yeah, he spoke briefly at the tribute. The little one, blank,
you know,
forget about it. He's
so
not speaking anybody.
What's the little one's name, Dangle?
The little one's name, Dangle. No,
yeah, Dangle. Yo, Mike, you're a big dude, man.
Yeah, Blanket. He doesn't speak at all. He'll never talk to anybody.
Oh, if his name, Blanket, I'll talk to anybody.
I know. I don't want anybody calling my name.
Listen. In many of her tweets, she used a lot of reference to songs. Like earlier today, she tweeted, "The Doggone Girl Is Mine." She also said something about Black and White. And this afternoon, 10 hours ago, 9 hours ago, she said, "Everyone is taking control of me."
Wow.
It seems that the world's got a role for me. I'm so confused. Will you show me that you'll be there for me?
To use the word control, that is code for Janet Jackson trying to take control of her. That's code. We'll be back. Stick around. It's Rich on the Radio. And you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Rezoner Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Rezoner Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The adult beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
3 years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Rezoner Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Minutes after the hour right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. I got to read this. This is reported from ABC News. Going back to the old Katherine Jackson thing. So Katherine Jackson has finally come forward. She spoke to ABC News and she said, quote, "I am devastated that while I've been away, my grandchildren have been taken away from me and I'm coming home." The report says the 82-year-old Jackson family matriarch also addressed rumors concerning her whereabouts. "There are rumors going around about me that I have been kidnapped," she said. "I am here today to let everybody know that I am good and fine. My children would never do anything to me like that." Now, this is where it gets interesting, folks. Katherine Jackson said today's court ruling that made T.J. Jackson the temporary guardian of Paris Michael, Prince Michael, and Prince Michael II, I still never will understand that, was based, quote, on a bunch of lies, end quote. She explained that her stay in Arizona at the Miraval Resort and Spa was a short vacation and rest, she said, in quotes. Now this is brilliant. As for not calling her grandchildren for days, Katherine Jackson said, quote, "One reason I didn't call is I just gave up my phone and didn't want to have any phone calls while I was there," end quote. Now, you're the primary guardian of three children, two of them teenagers, one a child. And you gave up your phone because you didn't want to be bothered by anybody? Even the people that you are in charge of? Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to go out on a limb. That before she made this phone call to ABC News, Rebe said to her, "Now you listen, Ma. You tell them there ain't nothing going on. You let anybody know, I'll punch you in the throat.
I'll take you out. You ain't got much longer on this earth as it is. I'll take you.
I'll take you out, Grandma.
I'll chop you in the throat and watch you gasp for air.
Don't let me have to karate chop you. I'll be all over you like a centipede."
Don't that make me call Joe.
Yeah, don't make me call Joe.
He's coming. He's on his way.
Come on, man. This woman said that she gave up her phone and she's got her poor granddaughter trying to find out where she is?
Okay, but wait a minute, Reese. From a legal standpoint, that was probably the best statement that she could have made. I think that they would argue on her side, on her behalf, that she obviously left the kids in good care and that the good care is who was trying to, obviously had to be good care, if not the judge wouldn't have given that individual the kids, custody of the kids.
But JC, if she's going to be out of reach, give the kids to Diana Ross for a couple of days. She's the next primary caregiver.
Okay, I understand that. I understand that. But she left him with TJ, who the judge thought was well enough, was good enough to give the kids to as well.
But with all of those kids, with all of her children, again, you got Jackie, Marlon, Tito, Janet, LaToya. You give them to TJ?
Well, you're telling her to give them to Diana, and she's not even part of the family.
I'm saying, regardless of the Diana thing, you go all the way to your grandkid, TJ. TJ is the most... I'm not saying that TJ isn't
He probably is the most
But that, you're feeding right into my point. TJ is the most responsible out of all of them. Something ain't right. Something don't smell right.
When has anything smelled right when it came to the Jackson family?
That's my point.
No, but Reese, you got to understand, too.
Reese.
All of the boys are out on tour.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right.
They're touring at the Jackson 4. Now, I've seen that concert. I've seen the video of that concert. They're actually not bad.
Well, wait a minute. Wait.
They're actually not good either.
Wait.
No, they're not bad. No. I'm serious.
Not saying that they're
if
good.
They were horrible, I would say so.
But they
really wasn't bad.
They're good.
He's saying that they're all right. But here's my question. Okay, who's out on tour? Jackie, Tito, Jermaine, and there's a fourth. Who's the fourth? Marlon. Okay, so they didn't even take Randy.
Where are they out on tour at? The National Elderly Home?
Hey, if New Edition could do a tour, they can.
No.
Come on.
No.
Mohegan Sun?
No.
Don't Mount Airy Lodge?
Never. Hold up. Wait a minute.
Maybe
they... No, I don't think so. Don't you ever compare Tito, Jermaine, and every other Jackson freak to New Edition.
Hold on. No. You fall back. You stay in your lane, sweetie.
What?
No. New Edition, the Jackson 5. You don't dare compare New Edition to the Jackson 5.
Come on, they're not the Jackson 5.
They're not the Jackson 5 anymore. They're washed up. They're old. They weren't great from the get-go. Michael made them great. MJ made them, and you know that.
Today, they're the Waxing 4. They ain't even got 5 people. They couldn't even get Randy. They couldn't get Randy on the tour?
No, he's off somewhere working on some software company that he's got.
No, he's not. He's off helping Janet kidnap the kids.
Well, hey, Reese, which one married his brother's wife?
Oh, I don't know.
One of the brothers married the other brother. One, I think it was Marlon. I think Marlon might have married Jermaine's ex-wife.
I think he married Jackie's ex-wife.
Somebody's ex-wife, whose ex-wife ended up dead at the bottom of a pool?
Oh, I don't know. Whoa. That's right. I do remember that. One of the ex's wives. Yeah, it had a little William Shatner episode. Damn. That's creepy.
I couldn't tell you. That's
why she left the kids to TJ. And her argument's going to be, I left them in good hands. Obviously, I did because the judge thought I left them in good hands. He gave them to good hands.
Yeah, but even if you left them with TJ, how do you not have the kids be able to reach you? You are their father.
We don't want them damn kids in Connecticut. Let them stay in California.
But you got it. Look, you don't get rid of your phone. If an emergency happens, she has to be contacted.
No, if an emergency happens, then whoever knows where she is, which was probably Tito or Junior, whoever he is. Tito Joe Jackson Jr., whatever. He probably knew where she was, so he could have called there and got someone to contact her in her room.
No, they wouldn't. He's the one that filed the missing persons report.
Thank you. He filed the missing person report. So yeah, okay. So there you go.
Yeah, you don't leave the kid with him, and then he turns around and files a missing persons report.
Yeah, again, something is rotten in Denmark. I'm not wrong here. The
I agree with you.
If this gets fishier and fishier. The fact that she even gave that quote, she didn't want anybody to contact her, it's their kid. And you got the poor girl tweeting, I want my grandma. Somebody
listen,
got control.
When you read my status, I posted it on both of you guys' walls. When you read my status, you're going to be like, oh, gosh, he was dead ass right.
I don't know. It sounds too fishy to me. Ugly as hell.
Pause. I don't know if they were carrying fish around in their bag. The train was packed. And all of a sudden, this overwhelming fish smell.
Somebody didn't wash.
Oh, my. It was hellacious. I smelled it all the way to work.
Well, apparently, they say check out with ABCNews.com for Catherine's full statement and watch her statement tonight. I guess they're going to talk about it tonight on Nightline. Everybody is talking about this.
Of course they are.
Everybody is talking. I was stunned that people were talking about this. And I don't know if anybody saw Good Morning.
It could all be a publicity stunt by the entire Scammin' Ash Jackson family.
But that's not going to get anybody to go see them in concert,
but
man.
No, it's going to bring their names back up. Now they're being talked about in the news. They haven't been forgotten. You know, the whole Michael Jackson thing was for X amount of time.
Right, Michael Jackson was always more famous than
la,
them.
La, 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 la. So now this could be a publicity stunt on
this. Anybody heard from LaToya on this one? Isn't she eerily absent?
And she's a big mouth of the family.
What's that, JC?
She's the big mouth of the family.
She is the big mouth. She's dropping loose change on the family. She's not into dimes. She likes quarters, half dollars.
Remember, she went in on Michael. Michael, I can't believe you're messing with those boys. Everyone knows that. Yep, she went in on Michael and about the kids.
What, you talking about him back in 1993?
When she said that the whole family knows that Michael's teetering. She said teetering with little boys.
Wow, LaToya said that?
Yeah, she did.
Was LaToya at the funeral?
I believe so. Let me go find this video.
I don't believe she was at that funeral, man. I don't think so. I don't remember seeing her there.
Probably not. Look at O'Reilly in
1998. I saw Janet. She was prevalent there. You know, I saw all the boys, but I don't remember seeing LaToya. She might have been there. I don't remember. But that I find extremely odd that she's not around. She's got to get her act together. Get in here. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually saying this. LaToya, please come out and get this family in order. You're the only one left to do it. In all of this mayhem, you're the only person that seems normal here. And you're an extreme whack job. You're an extreme whack job. But through all of this, you're the only normal person throughout this whole thing, with the exception of the kids. Maybe not Blanket so much. But all of them, you look like the normal one. Like you're somewhat grounded. I'm begging you, dear, please save the kids. Adding on to the fact that right now you'd probably be the most comfortable with them because you look the most like your brother.
And guess who's on Twitter offering advice?
Who's offering advice?
Chris goddamn Brown.
Oh, get out.
He has thrown himself up. Well, he might be able to go in there and smack the hell out of him, smack the chest into somebody.
Yeah, he might be able to go in there and smack somebody up. Y'all need to get your act together. Oh, that's just scary. I feel this is going. This story will not die down. We'll be talking about this for the next month. I think this is going to go right through August. There's going to be more tweeting, more weirdness. Paris is going to give some more insight. We may have to start following her on Twitter, guys. I think it's only right. I wonder if Mike's following her now, just so he can get some updates.
Probably. probably. I got it. I may have to start following just to find out what they're up to. She's sending out codes. What's that line, JC, she said about control? Read that one to me again. You got to fix your mic. You sound a little muffled. I want to hear what that control tweet was. Because that's the one that's the most telling. Why'd she's using all of her daddy's song, and then she uses Auntie Janet's song, Control.
Right. She says, everyone's taking control of me.
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing that the world's got a role for me. I'm so confused. Will you show me that you'll be there for me?
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So see. Right. So everyone's got control of me. That's clearly a reference to Janet. Right? That's a reference to Janet. Everybody's trying to take control of me. And what's the next line? JC, don't take, put yourself off mute. What's the next line after everybody's trying to take control of me?
It seems that the world has a role for me.
Okay, so I don't know where that's from. Whose song is about having a role for you? Because that just might be a flat out reference that they want her to do what she wants, what they want her to do.
Yeah.
What they want her to do, so to speak.
Right.
And the whole "Will you be there for me?" is of course a reference to "I'll be there." Like, who is there
right.
to be? Right. Where's my daddy? Who's gonna take over for my daddy? That's telling. The woman she's leaving breadcrumbs here. She's leaving breadcrumbs here. That's what this is about. You got to start investigating these tweets, man. I'm sorry. I think this is funny as hell. That's just me. I'm experiencing a little bit of Schadenfreude right now. That's kind of what's going on. I wish I had a Michael Jackson song to play. It'd only be right.
Hey, listen. Somebody as Michael Jackson retweeted what she said, and they stated, you may try to fool her because she's young, but it won't work.
What do you mean, you may try to fool her, but it won't work?
That's what some Michael Jackson tweeted on her page. Like a message to the family.
Mike, are you following her on Twitter yet so we can get some info?
No, I'm a 42-year-old single guy. Following a 14-year-old looks pretty bad. and I would suggest, Mr. Reese, that you don't follow her either.
When I said we, I meant at the show. I'm definitely not following her.
Let JC follow her. let Mary follow her. That's fine.
Yeah. But when I meant that, I meant collectively. Yeah,
I'm not following a 14-year-old girl.
She's the only one giving information. You're going to tell me that right now George Stephanopoulos isn't following her?
Well, he's married. That's okay. He can do that.
He could do that. George Stephanopoulos is following her. I'm pretty sure Jake Tapper is on.
Who's Mike is giving all the rustling sound?
Say again?
Somebody's mic is giving a whole lot of rustling and distortion.
Yeah, that's JC. JC's on one of those
Janet Jackson. I promise you, it'll end tomorrow.
He's on one of those headphones at Janet Jackson style.
Oh wow!
No, I have a voice IP phone now. But it's done tomorrow. I promise you. But listen,
are you wearing a Bobby Brown microphone?
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Isn't it your prerogative?
hey, but listen to this, guys. This is what started it all. She tweeted on the 22nd. If anybody sees my grandmother, please call the authorities or this number, 818-876-0186. It's the security number. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Then the same day, she tweets, The same doctor that testifies on behalf of Dr. Murray says my father's a drug addict, that's a lie, is caring for my grandmother. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, because how unbelievable that the guy who was 6 feet tall and weighed 120 pounds was a drug addict.
Well, listen. Right after that, she tweets, 8 days and counting, something is really off. It isn't like her at all. I want to talk directly to my grandmother.
She said 8 days and counting?
Yes.
See, I knew that. See, I knew that this whole 2 days thing, 8 days and counting she was missing.
Well, she left to go watch the concert. She went to go watch the boys in concert, supposedly.
But how do you not call the kids for over a week?
Maybe she was on a bender.
What'd you say, Mike? She was on what?
Maybe she was on a bender. You know, she's 78 years old, raising teenagers. Maybe she wanted to go have a drinking spell.
Yeah.
Holy crap, listen. TJ Jackson, he tweets on her page. I don't know, this kind of sounds like a publicity stuff, but I'll read it. He writes on our page, Paris, I know it's completely unfair for them to do this to you and your brothers. We will keep trying. I love you.
Wow. That's interesting.
And then Paris, just as of yesterday, said 9 days and counting. So help me God, I will make whoever did this pay.
Who said this now?
Paris.
Paris is a gangster.
Yes.
You go bust a cat.
I definitely ain't Michael Jackson's kid.
Holy crap. Is she Snoop Dogg's kid?
Yeah, that's actually kind of weird. All right, let's go to the top of the hour. We'll be back. Stick around. It's Reset Radio. We'll be right back.
The First Amendment is not absolute. No amendment is absolute. You can't scream fire falsely in a crowded theater. We have libel laws. We have anti-pornography laws. All of those are limits on the First Amendment. Well, what could be more important than the wellspring of our democracy? And certain limits on First Amendments that, if left unfettered, destroy the equality in our democracy, of course would be allowed by the Constitution. And the new theorists on the Supreme Court who don't believe that, I'm not sure where their motivation comes from, but they're just so wrong. They're just so wrong.
All right, we're back, top of the hour, 3 minutes after the hour right here on the 25th of July, 2012. It's Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. I was going to give a monologue about niggas, which I definitely plan on doing tomorrow. Not that I need to wait. I just think it's relevant that I do a monologue about niggas. And if you're interested, I think you should tune in. I'm probably going to begin the show with it tomorrow. But every day until August 1st, I'm going to remind everyone, please tune in to the show on August 1st, probably about 9:05. We're going to be making a huge announcement on Reese on the Radio. It is a really, really big announcement. It's life-changing. I would think that it was life-changing.
It
is life-changing. People will be stunned. People will be shocked. People will be happy. Maybe there'll be some haters. I could care less, but it will be huge. So I expect you all to tune in on that day, August 1st, that is a Wednesday at 9:05, we'll be making a huge announcement right here on Reese on the Radio. So make sure that you are here for it so that you can celebrate this huge announcement that we have to make. You'll be, like I said, some of you will be, I think a lot of you will be definitely shocked and happy and surprised and stunned. But it's a big deal for the Reese on the Radio brand and, you know, that whole deal. So just tune in for it. You know, we're just waiting until that day, and, you know, we'll be able to break that down for you. Anyway, so President Barack Obama, he's been doing this commercial now where he knows what, you know, we always say in this business that if something isn't affecting you, you do not respond to it. You know, if it's not affecting you, you just don't respond. People ask you about it, I got nothing to tell you, man. You know, you do what you do. But obviously, President Barack Obama has realized that he is being hammered for that speech that he gave about business. And if you remember, I hammered him right here about that. And to give you a little bit of background on this, he was in Roanoke, Virginia last weekend. Was it last weekend or the weekend before that?
I think it was the weekend
before. It had to be the weekend before that. And people are now referring to it as the Roanoke incident. And this is him giving a speech where he's talking about business. You've heard it all before. They've been playing it everywhere.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we have that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. The internet didn't get invented on its own. Government research created the internet so then all the companies could make money off the internet. The point is that when we succeed because of our individual initiative, but also because we do things together. There's some things, just like fighting fires, we don't do on our own. I mean, imagine if everybody had their own fire service. That'd be a hard way to organize fighting fires.
But you'd never have a fire in your house there, moron. But that's just me. Now, look, I am willing to concede that when he says you got roads and bridges, if you built a business, you didn't build that. He was talking about roads and bridges. I agree. Everyone else is saying if you built a business, you didn't build that. Everybody's harping on that line. If you made a business, you didn't build that. I get what it was he was trying to say. He says roads and bridges, you know, roads and bridges, if you got a business, you didn't build that. Saying that you didn't build the roads and bridges that, you know, bring people or bring commerce to your business. Okay, fine. I'm willing to concede that.
But wait a minute. How can you concede that when taxpayers are the ones that pay for that?
That's exactly. Well, no. I'm not saying that he was right in what he said. I'll concede that that's what he meant. I'm not conceding that it was right.
And the same research
right.
that they use, that the government used to research the internet,
yes, actually,
was our tax money.
No, actually, Xerox invented the internet, it turns out. Xerox invented the internet. But anyway, bottom line, again, I'll concede that he was trying to say roads and bridges, you didn't build that. And then he interjects the whole thing building. Okay, fine. But it still doesn't change the fact that during the beginning of that speech, President Barack Obama is chastising businesses. And he's sitting around saying, quote unquote, I hear these people talking about, I'm so smart. Or I work so hard. Right? So that's what he's saying. And he's chastising. I hear all these people talking about how smart they are or how hard they worked. And he's chastising them. Who do you think you are? And that's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. But no, not Obama.
No, I think that what he's touting is it doesn't matter whether you had the guts and the gumbo to get out there and make the best life that you could for yourself and use your talent in order to be successful.
You didn't do it on your own.
You didn't do it on your own. And that's...
Oh, 100%.
No, and that's how much... You interjected and you made lose my point.
I apologize.
Not so much that you did it on your own, but hey, you had that ability. Because you're an American, you had that freedom to use that ability. But not everybody had all the advantages you have because using those abilities that you have just because you have it, not because you needed anything to train that to put that into you, you should have to pay back to those people that don't have it. So, like, you must have had it easy.
Right.
And so other people don't. So now you need to be responsible for those people. Get a grip.
So Obama cut a commercial where he's trying to explain what it is that he tried to say, but someone took the actual commercial that he cut and spliced it with the things that he said. So here's what they came up with, and it's brilliant. Absolutely.
Those ads, taking my words about small business out of context, they're flat out wrong.
Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you've got a business, that you didn't build that.
Of course Americans build their own businesses.
I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there.
And what I said was that we need to stand behind them, as America always has.
It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there.
I'm Barack Obama, and I prove this message because I believe we're all in this together.
You didn't build that.
Which I think is classic. I think it just breaks the whole thing down. What I was really saying was that we all do this together, and he's pleading now.
Yeah.
He's just pleading now. I didn't mean it the way that it was. It's being taken out of context. That's all lies. I didn't say that.
You interpreted what I said incorrectly.
Yeah, but we heard what you said. All these people out there thinking they're so smart and they work so hard.
But what I had said was...
Yeah, exactly. Now we're complete morons.
I know I said what I said, but what I had said, what I really said
which
was...
is why I'm baffled by this. Taking his words out of context. Your words can't possibly be taken out of context. And I want to go back to Elizabeth Warren, who again... worked with Obama, both went to Harvard University.
Well, we know she went to Harvard. We don't know about him.
Well, no, he went.
Well,
he was president of the Law Review. We just can't see his transcripts. But she, what I find amazing is that for him to say that his words were taken out of context, I would ask Elizabeth Warren the same question. Were your words taken out of context? Because you sound just like him.
There is nobody in this country who got rich on his own. Nobody. You built a factory out there, good for you, but I want to be clear. You moved your goods to market on the roads the rest of us paid for. You hired workers the rest of us paid to educate. You were safe in your factory because of police forces and fire forces that the rest of us paid for. You didn't have to worry that marauding bands would come and seize everything at your factory and hire someone to protect against this because of the work the rest of us did. Now look, you built a factory and it turned into something terrific or a great idea. God bless. Keep a big hunk of it. But part of the underlying social contract is you take a hunk of that and pay forward for the next kid who comes along.
And I love the fact that she calls it the social contract.
That's the only thing I can remember out of everything she said.
Not sounds like socialism to me.
Hello.
The social contract.
Since when was that a part of any law or constitutional right or any social contract?
I've never
Who created social contract? I don't want to be on those social contracts.
What? Yeah, Mike, are you aware?
You can't sign me up for some shit. I don't want.
These people are basically socialists, okay? And what they're saying has a small kernel of legitimacy. But the response to them is, yeah, everybody pays into the system. But if the system was successful enough to create the businesses that we have today, shouldn't those businesses just have to pay taxes at the same percentage they paid in the past? Isn't
Absolutely.
That fair? But, you know, Obama says that nobody did anything on their own. I would like to point him to Apple Computer that was started in a garage by a couple of broke hippies.
Yeah.
Who sold the Volkswagen van and a scientific calculator to make the first Apple Computer. Those guys took it from a garage in Palo Alto to the second most valuable company in the world behind GM. And I don't think the government helped them a whole lot.
You know, it was funny today. I don't know if you ever watched that show, The Five, on Fox.
No.
Okay. Well, they brought up they put up a statistic today about Henry Ford. And Henry Ford, I believe, made the Model T in 1903, 02, something like that. It was very early in the 1900s. The first highway and road bill was some 10 years later. Between the time that the Model T was made and the first highway bill was ever passed?
The Model T was produced in 1908.
Okay, so 1908. So,
and I actually have a little backstory as to the history of paving roads in this country. You know what people don't realize? Who started the movement to pave roads? It was the League of American Wheelmen, the bicycle people.
Oh, really?
Roads were paved in this country initially for bicycles, not for cars.
Right, because they weren't.
Because the bicycle predates the car by a long time.
Exactly. But the interesting point they made up, they said when the road and highway bill was actually passed, a government program, when they said that there were a million Model Ts on the road. Between the time that the first road, by the time the first roadway bill was passed, and when it finally got implemented, there were 12 million Model Ts on the road. So, in essence, the roads didn't build Ford; he built them in spite of it.
Yeah.
So, for her to suggest that nothing was built without government is a complete farce.
Yeah, the first push to pave roads in this country actually happened in 1890s.
That was the first time it was pushed to build roads?
That was the League of American Wheelmen, American Bicyclists, pushed to start paving roads in the late 1800s.
I can't even believe that they had a League of American Bicyclists League before.
Oh, hey, yeah. The bicycle was a great social invention at the time. I mean, that was freedom.
Yeah, considering there were no vehicles at the time, sure.
Yeah, it was either that or a horse, you know.
Either that or the horse. Damn right, Justin. Either that or the horse.
And they got the roads paved basically through private industry. It wasn't the government. It was private people. It was donations and fundraising.
Yeah, I just find it amazing that he would turn around and try to suggest that he wasn't trying to chastise or rip apart businesses and then say, I wasn't saying that. They took my words out of context.
What has he ever accomplished on his own? I mean, everything indicates that Barack Obama was groomed and handed everything he ever got in his life.
You know, I'm so glad you just mentioned that.
I mean, who's his best buddy? Bill Ayers? You know, the former member of the Weather Underground, the communist who pushed him through college and opened doors for him? Barack Obama has nothing in common with an entrepreneur. He's not an entrepreneur. He's a socialist.
Always has been, always will be. I don't understand why. You know, there are some people out there and some people that I respect. They refuse to even call him a socialist. But
when I listen to him speak, and you catch him in those sort of moments like these, in fact, I always go, you know, how can you not think that he is?
Well, his new slogan, Forward, is a communist slogan.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about being, what do you call it?
And the font they're using is a font from the Cuban Revolution. It could not be more blatant.
And he's not subtle about it at all.
No, it's almost like he's daring people to call him on it. But, and it changed. All his stuff is very reminiscent of socialist propaganda, because socialist propaganda was kept at a very simple soundbite level to appeal to the proletariat. It's forward and change and all this stuff. I think he's basically a Marxist.
Yeah, but you know what? Remember when that report came out that he had spoken at this, this Chicago play where he was a part of the dossier that spoke on Love Letter to Alinsky. I want you to hear this thing by Bill Whittle. If you're not familiar with him, PJTV has a thing called Afterburner with Bill Whittle. I want you to hear this real quick.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Afterburner. I'm Bill Whittle. You know, a few days ago, the chief executive of the government with the largest economy in the history of the world, 5% of the world's population producing 26% of its GDP, largely through the efforts of small businessmen and women, had this to say.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
What do you say to that? I know many Americans were not just insulted by this. They were stunned. They were actually stunned by it. Now, of course, if you're one of those people who've been willing to go to the time and effort to become your own newspaper or TV network and do the digging and fact-checking required to fill the place of a criminally negligent press, then, of course, you were not surprised at all, were you? In fact, how else could this president feel about the issue? A man whose grandparents deliberately moved to Mercer Island, Washington, specifically so they could enroll his mother in the one openly communist and atheist school in all of 1950s America. A man whose same grandfather chose communist radical Frank Marshall Davis to be his spiritual and political mentor. A man whose political career started in the living room of Marxist terrorist Bill Ayers, and so on, and so on, and so on. So all of that your business belongs to the workers' griffle is not only not news to those of us who know just who and what Barack Obama really is, it's actually inevitable when you think about it. He was raised by feral Marxists out in the wild. It's all he knows. But watching Obama say that your hard-earned success really is the result of other people's work produced a remarkable insight from my friend Jeremy Boring, who remarked that if you look at Barack Obama's life, it is nothing but the story of doors magically opening for him as he approaches from across the street. It's the story of a born narcissist who, by some miracle, has always stepped into larger roles prepared for him by someone else. He doesn't know how it happened, and he certainly doesn't seem to care. It's a miracle. Hey, would you like some examples? Well, the boy who tells us he led such a hard scrap of life that his mother needed food stamps and couldn't afford the health insurance that would have saved her life somehow found himself at Punahou School in Hawaii, one of the most exclusive and expensive private schools in the most exclusive and expensive state in the union. Wow, it's a miracle. Well, at Columbia University, all-American boy Barry Sotero not only rooms with foreign students, he also, by some miracle, manages to travel to Pakistan with his friends at the times when travel to Pakistan on U.S. passports was prohibited. At least that's what I understand of the issue. Of course, it'd be nice to be able to verify all this, but the president's travel records, like his academic records and his medical records, have been miraculously sealed. Well, at Harvard University, he becomes the first student ever to be president of the Harvard Law Review and not be required to write an actual law review. It's a miracle. As an unknown, unpublished author, he's miraculously given a $100,000 advance to write a book on race relations when he spends all of this money not producing, you know, an actual manuscript. He asks for and receives another $40,000 advance to finish not the book that the publishers wanted, but rather the first of his two autobiographies. And as a professional writer myself, I would describe that situation as miraculous. But miracles continue in abundance for Barack Obama. He gets a miraculously sweet deal on a house from convicted felon and Chicago machine real estate tycoon Tony Rezko. In 2004, Obama becomes a U.S. senator by winning an election against Jack Ryan, whose messy and embarrassing but legally sealed divorce settlements miraculously somehow become unsealed. As a U.S. senator, he passes virtually no legislation and is known for voting present on all matters of importance. This, coupled with a total lack of business management experience, is miraculously considered qualification for the most powerful office in the world. He attends Reverend Wright's Marxist, anti-American, anti-white, hate-filled church for 20 years, and yet, miraculously, he's absent on the days when Wright preaches against capitalism, American culpability, and white privilege. He sells out America's ability to defend itself against missile attack to our mortal enemies solely for personal political gain, and he does it on television. And instead of it being called treason, because that is the definition of treason, he taps a microphone the next day and says, "Is this thing on?" And everybody smiles and laughs, and it's a living, breathing miracle. So, of course, he doesn't recognize the hard work and the sacrifice and the pain and the persistence and the effort and the failure and the recovery from failure that goes into starting and running a business. And, of course, he says, someone else did that for you. Because for his entire life, someone else has done it for him. It's all he knows. Of course, the question then becomes, who did it for him and why? You know, if we had a free press, someone would be trying to find the answers to these questions. But some miracles, it seems, are just too large for this world.
Now, again, I don't know whether or not you guys know Bill Whittle. Are you familiar with him, Mike?
Never heard of him.
Tell me that wasn't the most scathing biography you've ever...
It's spot on. And that should be on, I don't know, what's the most watched news network in America? Fox News? That should be on Fox. Hannity should be saying that. Rush should be saying that. Alex Jones should be saying that. And the only one who's come close is Alex Jones.
Yeah, I mean, but talk about, well, Bill Whittle, for me personally, he is one of my heroes. Every time I get alerts on YouTube when he puts out a new video. And when I watched that, I was in awe because all of that stuff that I knew, but the way he laid it out is brilliant.
And yet nobody knows.
Yeah. And they act like they don't even know. And the connections are indisputable as to who this guy is. And I love the way he just breaks down the whole idea. It's just like, here is a guy who's literally had everything done for him through all of these people. Of course, you know, he would just... You know, all of these doors open for him by somebody else, never having to lift a finger.
And I believe he thinks that's normal.
Hello.
Yeah, and I'm sure it is weird that we don't have any of his college records. And like the man said, that he was editor of the Harvard Law Review without ever being published. Yeah, I think that basically he got a pass through life.
Yeah, I think he was just coddled. I think that's the best way to put it.
Either you buy the conspiracy that he was marked from childbirth as, you know, the chosen one, you know, like Simba from Lion King or whatever.
See,
Or he just got through life because he happened to be this biracial kid named Barack Obama, and all the liberals around him wet themselves that, ooh, you know, here's our guy we can push because he's the perfect minority, you know?
Exactly. I always tell this story. It was February 18th, 2008, and I'm in Manchester, New Hampshire, across the street from the Palace
theater at a little run-in diner, a little run-down diner. And Maureen Dowd from New York Times comes in and she sits right next to me. And she's an older woman with red hair. I'm sure a lot of people remember her. And as soon as she walks in, my producer says to me, "You know who that is?" And I said, "No, who's that?" And he goes, "Maureen Dowd." She sits right next to me with her assistant. So I immediately usher my mic over next to me. I don't make it look like I'm recording, but I give my producer a little nod. And I said, "Miss Dowd, Reese Hopkins, nice to meet you." She was like, "Oh, hello, who are you with?" I said, "WRKO in Boston." And I said, "I'm originally from New York. I'm a big fan of your work." She was like, "Oh, thank you." So I said, "Were you in the Palace Theater watching Barack Obama speak?" She goes, "Oh, yes." I said, "So what's your take? What did you think?" She flips her hair up in the air. Like, she looks up and flips her hair, and she goes, "Oh, he's the one." I'll never forget that day. She said, "He's the one." 2 weeks later, after we played the audio, the New York Times says that they're endorsing Hillary Clinton. Is that crazy? It's February 2008.
His whole thing just shocks me, man. I mean, I don't want to say that he comes across like the Manchurian candidate, but there's something very suspicious about his meteoric rise to power.
I couldn't agree more.
This guy came from nowhere. He wasn't a governor. He was a junior senator with a name that sounds just like Osama.
Huh. Yeah.
Whose father was, what, possibly a communist who was raised his whole life by communists, and he just got pushed through, man. I mean, if there was a documentary on HBO a couple of years ago called Hacking Democracy. You ever see it?
No, I never heard of it.
Hacking Democracy, basically, it was regarding the 2004 election, I guess, when W beat Gore.
Right.
But they basically showed that all these electronic voting machines are hackable.
Huh.
They're easily hackable. So it's highly possible we don't have legitimate elections in this country at all, and that Obama was just the result of hacked election machines.
I don't know. I think it seems bigger than that. But you know what? I'll tell you one thing that I don't like that's been driving me up the wall for the longest. With all the reporting going on about how the economy is doing poorly, the unemployment rate, the housing of the home buyers, home buying rate literally plummeted today. The fact that the food prices are going up. The fact that we're about to reach poverty levels of 1965, and then these news reporters get on TV and say that Barack Obama has a favorability rating of over 50%, and I sit up here and go, how can you give that story? And get NBC had to admit today that their poll was skewed, 45% Democrats versus 39% Republicans, and they knew it was skewed, and they waited until later to report it.
Well, man, I just have to say that, I mean, Grant, I live in an area that's not going to be a large Obama support area. But I don't see any Barack Obama signs. I see no Barack Obama bumper stickers. Nothing.
Well, come to
I can't imagine there's many people that actually support him other than, you know, the people who are voting for him either because their unions tell them to or because he's black.
No, there are so many people in Washington, D.C.
And Virginia.
And Maryland that support him. They got bumper stickers from 2008 and now in 2009.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, do they have government jobs?
Probably.
I don't know.
Nah, you're probably right about that.
I mean, if I had a government job, I might vote for the guy, too.
You're probably right about that. A lot of government workers work just outside of D.C. and, in the D.C. area and Maryland. Hey, it's the second worst traffic in the country, except on Friday when they're furloughed.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That we pay for, sure.
You know, Friday, no traffic. Mary tells me all the time on Friday, never a problem getting around on Friday. And I said, that's government furlough day.
They're on salary, right?
Yeah, they're on. Yeah, some of them are on salary. But, you know, remember, just was it like a year ago? They said that they were going to furlough some government workers' days and only were going to work 4 days a week. Friday, there was literally no traffic to be heard of unless it's a car accident. Rest of the week, completely packed.
Well, I'm sure that's the largest employer in the D.C. area. It's got to be the federal government.
Of course it is. Of course it is. You know, it's a mess. It is. All right, we got to get into these riots. You know some details on this, Mike, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Mike? Yeah, I got to find out why is it that the Puerto Ricans ain't flipping out, or the Mexicans for that matter, ain't flipping out like the 92 riots. We got to get into that when we get back. Therese on the radio.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gottavote.org to register now. That's gottavote.org.
You know we've got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Last time on Reese on the Radio.
He said, I am the Joker. But once again, he was still walking into a movie theater that was showing the Batman. So you're saying that this guy would have done what he had done, even if, like, Steel Magnolia was playing. He just said, I'm the Steel Magnolia.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknight. Right here on blogtalkradio.com. If I don't recognize your name, Gerard, nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is. But she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. That's the guy, Michael Simon. Never forget him. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the bald-headed guy, right? That's him.
Right, right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
him. So he's dressed like the chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, yes.
Is that significant?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar. It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest facts. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyist.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff, appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the
president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this? Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Playing Brooklyn Zoo because they didn't have the song Anaheim Zoo. But I hear they're going buck wild in Anaheim. I don't know if Mickey Mouse is going to be affected by all of this. But apparently the Mexicans have gone crazy. And they're fighting the cops.
For what?
Apparently, you know, I don't know who this young man is. And I'll bring Mike back in for this. This kid's name who got shot is some kid named Diaz. What's his first name?
I don't know, but his gang name was Stomper.
Right. Gang name was Stomper.
Okay. It was
if your gang name is Stomper,
yes.
You know, so I guess what happened is the cops are patrolling through this Mexican neighborhood, and they see Stomper and his two homeboys hanging out. And as you're supposed to do when you're a cop and you see known gang members, you're supposed to roust them because they're gang members.
Right.
Well, these three homeboys take off running, and the cops pursue as you have to do. And the story the cop gives is that Stomper reached in his waistband like he was reaching for something, and the cop shot him, right? So the Mexicans are losing their mind because this heroin-dealing gangbanger with a rap sheet as long as my arm got shot by the police. Because I'm sure he was such a benefit to the community, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So I guess the Mexicans all come out when the shooting happened. And in typical Mexican fashion, not to sound racist, but there's like fat mamas out there with strollers with kids in them. And all these Mexicans start yelling at the cops and throwing rocks at the cops. So the cops, showing immense restraint, got out their pepper ball guns and their rubber bullet guns.
Right, beanbag guns and stuff.
Yeah, and disperse the crowd. Well, during this dispersal, the moms with strollers, of course, didn't leave when there are 500 people out in the street yelling at cops. Because, you know, why take your baby inside, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, police dogs saw its handler, I guess, tussling with some Mexican thug, and the police dog did his job, which is to protect his handler.
Right.
So in the process, he knocked over a stroller with the Mexican baby in it, and kind of bit the mom. So what? You know, that's what's going to happen if you're in a place where riotous people are throwing rocks at the cops.
You got me. Yeah, I'm over.
And throwing emergency cones at cars.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, and they're throwing them at just civilians. They're not even throwing them at the cops anymore. Now they're just throwing them at the car that drives by.
And then it looks like the Occupy idiots are involved in this. I saw a lot of Guy Fawkes masks. And they smashed the window of a Starbucks, and they caught some Mexicans filling up gallon glass jars with gasoline. And you know, they're crazy. And the sad thing is, where's ICE to check their immigration status?
Oh, they can't do that because that would be racist.
But these are mostly non-citizens, I'm sure, who are rioting to protect their civil rights. When they don't have civil rights, they're not citizens.
You got me so far. Now, from what I hear, there have been no deaths. This I find amazing. This has been going on for 4 days. There's got to be either a large amount of restraint on the behalf of the Anaheim police that only 20 people arrested and 5 people have been injured with all of this going on for 4 days. 4 days, for crying out loud. The L.A. riots lasted, what, 6 days?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's dead?
I think they need to bring Chief Gates out of retirement, let him run Anaheim PD for a while. He would solve this problem.
Now I hear they're bringing in the FBI. For what?
Well, they're going to make sure that they're not violating the rights of these gangbangers who are throwing stuff and breaking windows.
It's got Eric Holder all over it.
But, you know, the thing is, man, the problem I have, and this happens in the black community, too. There was a case in Houston today where some guy got shot pulling a gun on the police. You know, dead bang, pulling a gun on the cops. And there's a riot because how dare you shoot little whatever his name is, you know, Thuglet.
Right.
Oh, it's in Dallas. I'm sorry. Some guy named James Harper got shot when he, like, ran from the cops and shot at him or something, right? So there's a big riot. And now, I don't get why these communities care. You know, why make such a big deal about the cops policing your neighborhood and trying to make your neighborhood safe?
But, again, another perfect example of these people will complain about how dangerous their neighborhoods are, and when cops get involved, then they do the ultimate frickin', you know, hypocrisy here. They pull the ultimate hypocrisy and then say the police are abusing people. And I'm going, what? Like, it's damn if you do, damn if you don't. You can't satisfy these savages.
Do you remember what happened when the L.A. riots first kicked off, what Chief Gates did?
No, I don't remember that.
Chief Gates basically pulled all his cops out of Compton.
Oh, he just
went. He said, all right, assholes, you don't like the police, huh? Well, have fun, no police.
And just moved them out and just let them pretty much destroy their neighborhoods.
Moved them out and let them go. I think, honestly, if you're Anaheim PD, yeah, you're in the OC where the rich white people are.
Right.
You go take care of the rich white neighborhoods and the Asian, like, Koreatown, and let the barrio police itself. See how they
you
like having no police for a while.
I agree with you, because even though I said what I said about what I said about Michael Bloomberg yesterday when he said that, you know, telling the police across the country to go on strike, I wouldn't have told the police to go on strike. You're absolutely right. Do the same thing. Tell the cops to protect the neighborhoods that respect them. And you tell them, during the L.A. riots, I would have said, you know what, burn down your hood. But if one of you niggas cross Rodeo Drive.
these fools aren't going to try to make it up to, like, Laguna Beach. Those rich white people will kill them.
Of course not. That's the whole thing. It's like, you know, I always say, it's like, you know, I love it every time I watch. You know, Mississippi Burning, for me, was a real telling of what these maniacs do. Now, I'm not going to say that the circumstances are the same, but I want you to, because I know a lot of people have seen that movie, Mississippi Burning. But remember, when the villains who killed that guy, when the judge completely dismissed the charges against them in that, and then Gene Hackman and Willem Dafoe drive up in the black neighborhood, the police are standing ground, they've got a roadblock. And so Willem Dafoe comes out, you know, he's the bleeding heart, and he comes in and says, you know, we got to go in there, we got to stop this. And the cop, Buford, turns around and looks at him and says, ah, what for? Just let them burn, they're burning down their own stuff. Just let them do it. And it was interesting because I'm saying to myself, this was their own black community. What are you burning down your own stuff for? I mean, what kind of...
Happens every time, man.
And it amazed me with that.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it back to Trayvon Martin. You know, all these, the black community is crying about Trayvon Martin. But Trayvon Martin, I don't think when he got that stolen jewelry, he was going into Boca to steal it. He was the kind of guy that victimized his own neighborhood. All of these criminals who get killed victimize their own people.
And they want to
exclusively go rob white people. But as soon as something happens and somebody shoots him, it's, oh, he was a good boy. And, you know, hey, Stumper, he wasn't a bad guy, you know, Vato.
He was just a gangbanger, man.
Hey, you know, he don't like the cops, huh? But nobody likes the pinche cops.
I'm just amazed at watching these people do this. And I go, they don't even understand the hypocrisy. Why, you know, somebody needs to just be out there and just go, guys, you're defending somebody who was destroying your community, who was terrorizing your community.
He was one of their homeboys. You know, he was the right skin color.
Well, again, if you embrace, because if I'm a police officer, my response to that is, if this is the kind of guy that you defend, then you're no better than him. You're a scumbag. You
well, they are scumbags, dude. Did you see them?
Oh yeah, I saw them. Oh, it was evident.
It was evident. And how are these people all so fat when they're so poor?
Well, you know, they don't really make healthy choices.
Good God, I guess burritos must be cheap.
Burritos are cheap, man.
God damn.
Incredibly.
You know, in 1950s L.A., what would have happened is the cops would have shown up with their 3-foot-long nightsticks, they'd have waded in that crowd, and cracked a bunch of skulls. And that, unfortunately, if you want to deal with rampant crime, that's, as fascist as it sounds, that's how you have to handle it. When you catch some 14-year-old who's on the road to gangbanging, you put him in the squad car, you take him out somewhere, you beat the crap out of him, then you drop him off in the opposing gang's hood.
Yeah.
Just like Boys in the Hood. You drop him off, you know, if he's a Crip, you drop him off where the Bloods live. If he's Mexican, drop him off where the Bloods live. And you discourage these little assholes from leading this life. But yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. It's funny because, you know, Hannity is showing it right now, and I'm looking at it, and the cops are just standing by. Oh, and I'm looking at a lot of these people there. Yeah, those people are not Mexican. That's clearly Occupy.
Yeah, it's Occupy. Little snot-nosed anarchist white kids leaving their mommy and daddy's mansion to go do this because, oh, you know, the police are so bad, dude. But I got news for them. If that turns into a straight-up riot, what do you think those Mexicans are going to do with those little white boys?
Right. There you go. I'm
going to turn on them in a heartbeat.
Exactly. What are you doing here?
What are you doing here, gringo?
Exactly. You're not down with us. You don't know what we're going through. You go back to your
home. Hey, Holmes. Go back to Laguna Beach, Holmes.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's just
amazing.
Sad, man. I mean, and you don't see that I hate to say you don't see it with white people, but you don't see white people just blanket defending criminal pieces of crap. White people have no unity. We turn on people in a heartbeat.
Yeah, exactly.
Ain't nobody standing up for James Holmes.
Yeah, sure enough, exactly. Exactly. Oh.
Here, there was a shooting outside a showing of Batman in Port St. Lucie, Florida, by the way.
I just heard.
Hilarious. It looks like somebody started a fight with an ex-Marine, and the Marine pulled his concealed carry piece and shot the little dude in the hat.
He shot him in the hat?
Didn't kill him, but managed to shoot him through the hat. So the kid and his 3 homeboys ran off and got away, but the cops got him. But typical nonsense, you know, sucker punch somebody, but he chose to sucker punch a Marine. Lucky he and his boys are not all dead.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, you know, Torre's back in the news. I got to play this audio. because, of course, he's talking about the whole Colorado shooting. And Torre, as usual, I mean, Torre, if your whole life is to just talk about racism, you, my friend, are a one-trick pony. And I say that even though it's racism all the time on Reason Radio. Okay? So if I call you a one-trick pony, it means something, damn it. I want you to hear what Torre said about the Colorado shooting.
Long-time gun owner, but it doesn't become this litmus test for him of, like, do you get me? But we never have this debate until we have a tragedy, and then it's over-emotionalized, it's over-fraught. You can't have a substantive debate when everybody's so sensitive.
Sure.
Day-to-day crime, as we've talked about, has fallen over the last 20 years, so I think the average voter feels less of the fear that would motivate lawmakers to do something. These spectacular mass killings are way up from when our dads were kids. I think there was something like 11 in the 50s and 60s and over 550 in the last part of the last century, a decade ago. Those things sort of make us think about these things, but we understand those are outlier crimes, somebody going to shoot up the mall or shoot up the school. I would hope that it would be something like a Trayvon Martin situation that would make people think, wow, wrongful death, even though it's a legal gun owner, how do we move forward from this situation? But so much of this issue, I think, comes down to let's make sure that law-abiding white people are able to have access to guns and make sure that black criminals are not. And that becomes part of the locus of the problem. And we don't even want to talk about that sort of racial bottom, black sort of bottom of it all, but that's definitely part of it. Well,
I swear to you. What
the hell was he talking about?
I don't know. Like, how did he manage to inject Trayvon Martin and then inject this whole white people and black criminals? Like, how does he do it? No one looks at him and goes, what the F are you talking about?
Yeah, nobody wants white criminals to have guns either.
Yeah. I'm like,
that's him. It's not like we're saying, hey, you know, give those white felons guns. He's out of his mind.
Every time I look at him, I go, what? I'm like, just going, how does he do it? And everyone sits at it, just idly by and just goes, right, Torre. And I'm just
doesn't he understand that what the Trayvon Martin case did more than anything was make white people buy more guns?
Exactly. As this.
They said gun purchases went up 25% over the weekend in Colorado.
JC says, the damn police turned a dog loose on a lady with her baby carriage. Why does Mike always inject someone's past into what's relevant about the facts? Look, the guy was a gangbanger, and he was in the middle of something that looked suspicious, according to the police officers, JC.
And the lady, the dog didn't go after the lady with the carriage. It went after the Mexican who was hiding behind the baby carriage.
That's right.
The dog
watch
just
that
pushed
video.
The carriage out of the way.
You watch that video. The woman moves out the way with the baby carriage. And according to what the video shows, somebody said that the dog actually just got loose. But I'm thinking, well, the dog probably got loose, as you described it, seeing that his handler was in a scuffle.
Hey, you know, I just hope they gave that dog his shots after he bit that dirty illegal Mexican. Yeah, I mean, can dogs get Chagas disease?
Well, JP says she was bit. We know. He didn't dismiss that. He said that she was bit as well. It's a dog. Everybody around his...
Well, you know, here's the thing, right? When the cops show up and you have a baby, maybe you take your fat burrito-eating ass inside with your baby.
Again.
They'll stand around and say, hey, Scooty's cops, they ain't going to do anything to me. I got a baby. La Nina.
I'm watching the video now, and these girls, these are Spanish girls. There's a cop in riot gear, and there's these two Spanish girls, and they're screaming in the cop's face. I'm sitting there going, if they respond to you in a, you know, a violent way, what are you going to say? It was his fault? You're all in his face. You're screaming. You're cursing. You're spitting. I mean, come on.
My daddy was a cop for 30 years.
And in those 30 years, he never once even had to fire his weapon in the line of duty. But he beat the crap out of a whole lot of people.
Oh, there's one girl with her video phone out, and she's dancing in the street. Okay, here's the video.
You know?
Here's the video when the cop comes out. Why? Here's the video when the cop comes. Oh, are they going to cut it? Hold on, here it is. Dog gets out. Okay. I see where he bites the girl. He doesn't bite the girl with his... Oh, she's holding a baby. Okay, yeah, she's holding a baby. But he's got that gun pointed on him. Get the hell up out of here. Oh, wait. This makes it even funnier. You want to laugh? I swear to God, Sean Hannity is on the phone with Mark Furman. Condemned O.J. Simpson trial racist. Mark Furman.
Seriously, if you're gonna go after every cop who has ever said that word, you wouldn't have any cops, including black cops.
Damn sure would.
And here's the thing, man. If you are not somewhat racist when you become a cop, you're going to be racist for about 6 months. Because
exactly.
All you deal with is ghetto trashy people. All day.
It brings the worst out of me.
Jesus, can you imagine being a cop in South Central L.A.? You would sound like a Klansman at the end of the day.
All right, we got to go. That's our show for today. We've been going over every day, past 10 o'clock. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for letting us at least extend it. Mike, as always, man, I'm your biggest fan, and I swear to God, thank you as usual. Justin, you know, in the future, don't talk so much.